All right, we are recording.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is 10 a.m. Welcome to the May 12th installment of the Executive Committee meeting for the Leon County Research Development Authority. I would like to call the meeting to order. We have no guests today. Nobody's going to be participating electronically. Modifications to the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I have two proposals. One is I'd like to ask that we have in place a contingency plan for the possibility of the government going into default and how we would pay Culpepper, how we would work with the IOU, whether they would just stop construction. I don't know what would happen, but there is that possibility, and I think we need to have some plan in place to know what our expectation for our staff to do. Second thing I'd like to do is to reopen the discussion on the community visit to Sid Martin. I've had a number of people ask me when the trip was going to take place, and so I'd like to get that discussion back on the table.
All right. Let's have the government discussion, government shutdown discussion. Put that in new business.
Okay.
Fair. And we can
bus trip could go under 8, right?
Yeah, let's put the bus trip under 8.
Okay.
What other modifications?
I have two also that I suggest would be put under number 9. The first one is to talk about the property management contract that expires a little bit later this year. And then the second is to bring the balance of the executive committee up to recent meetings that Kevin and I had with Florida State Fannie.
All right, and we can put both those under 9.
Yep.
Any other updates, modifications? Hearing none. There was no public comment submitted?
No, sir.
Item number 6, everybody's had a chance to review the minutes. Are there any edits? Hearing none, minutes are approved. Number 7, consent.
I'll move it.
All right, it's been moved and properly seconded. Any conversation, discussion?
Yeah, the only thing is I think these are the items that are supposed to be on consent. And does anybody want me to expand on any of those 3 things? That's all. Okay. The first one you don't know about is the AC for the Johnson Buildings, $42,000 to replace the busted AC. That's a 20-ton unit. I've gotten 3 bids. We went back to all 3, asked them to rebid, give us their best price. They came down $1,500 kind of each. Best I got is 41 up to 42. They're all in a real tight window. So
one of the things that we probably have not done is a facilities maintenance plan. Here we have a $42,000 HVAC bust. We have a couple $100,000 that are going into 2 different elevators. The buildings that we have out here are largely, I think the newest one's about 28 years, less what we're currently building. The older ones are 36 or 37 years. We clearly have not been preparing for this. And so the facilities maintenance plans are expensive analyses to perform, but right now we're pretty much flying blind. So
we're waiting until it breaks. I mean, there is no PM,
and we don't have any kind of reserve account. We did.
We did
a study probably 7 or 8 years ago. We had Talcor do it.
Yeah.
And they scheduled out when they thought we were going to be spending money on mostly on AC. I mean, HVAC was the big
roof and HVAC.
Roof. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I don't have a copy of it. It might be hard to find, and it may be worthless at this point.
I can find out about it.
Am I right about that, Dave?
I think so. Yeah, I kind of remember, but I do remember HVAC being the top piece of it.
Yeah, it was a lot.
We fixed one in the lab in the last couple of 3 months. This one's going. We've held off a couple of months on the one over at the Johnson Building, but now you're really starting to push the balance of the units, and then I don't want to cook another one.
This is probably a conversation that we need to engage in with the full board. I mean, it's not a crisis for this afternoon, but we've got to figure
out. It'll be something else.
Yeah. Has the HVAC unit completely stopped?
Yeah, it's an original unit.
And so what?
Just pump some freon.
We've got to move fast on that one.
We got nobody in the space, but what it's doing is it's really, it wasn't as bad February, March. But now, as all of a sudden you hit a 90-degree day, other units in the building are overworking, and we're just going to blow one out if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And we're certainly not going to lease any space without an AC in it.
And we're going to have moisture problems.
You're going to have mold. You're going to have all sorts of things. So it's not something that we can just wall off and not pay attention to any longer.
Right. Anything else on consent? It's been moved. It's been properly seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Okay, well, it's unanimous. Okay, item number 8, IPTLH.
I will take that one. If you guys recall the last exec and board meeting, I think Bill implored the board to do two things, sponsorship ideas as well as potential board members, advisory board members for the IPTLH. As of this point, we've gotten kind of zero on both of those things, just to give everybody an update. There's been zero response to that. We have adjusted the board. As David and Tom are aware, you guys both resigned. Kevin appointed Heine, Bill, and I to that board. So the board is fully functioning. We do not have the other 3 seats for a total of 7, but we do have a fully functioning board that will not be subject to sunshine as structured as designed. Along with that, I'm still moving through the documents, which include a ground lease, sponsorship documents, membership agreements, and a side letter agreement that LCRDA will fund shortfalls up to certain limits over time for a short period of time for the lab. And anybody's welcome to look and review those if they would like. I'm working on them with Melissa. And then the last thing, the big one, and we'll cycle through this probably in more than one place today, is the FF&E. Bill has started the process with the architect, and they have assembled kind of a listing, started with furniture. I think they're working also on the specific, hey there,
two more,
all the other technology equipment, and we're going to end up with a priority list of what we have to have, what we'd like to have, and we're probably going to do a little bit of a sort first floor, second floor, because depending on where we are, what funding we have in place, we may decide just to do the first floor stuff. But we have those options. The idea would be to get that list complete, get budgeted, get some, before we go out for an RFP process. The expectation is that would be the earliest that RFP would start is probably June, July, at which point you get prices back and, potentially are placing an order, September, October at the earliest would be the most likely scenario. So, but we wanted to start so that we're ready should the funding be in place, whatever sources we're able to get, that we're in a position to at least be in front of that.
I thought we heard at one of the meetings that there was a big interest in leasing second floor space.
That's where the wet labs are. Yes. So again, it could be the second floor. I was just using the
idea.
I'm breaking it into pieces. So wherever we think we get the biggest bang, we want to make sure we're spending the money. I don't need a furniture budget just for the whole place and an equipment budget. We need to figure out where's it all going to be, and then we get to decide what's the most high priority space that we could benefit, our community could benefit, and that may be where I throw our dollars instead of just getting chairs everywhere. Yeah. We may put some actual technical equipment in certain places and some chairs nearby and office space. Not the whole building with just office space. We've got office buildings space available already. I don't need to just outfit office space.
That was a good call, by the way, yesterday of giving out $1,500 or $1,500 whatever it was to people.
Yep. That was Bill's idea. Good idea.
The top 5. That was whose idea, Bill?
Good idea.
I thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anything else on the FF&E? I mean, that's, again, we're grinding through it, but the numbers are big. Just so everybody knows, if you really want to go full package, we're probably in the $2 to $3 million range to get everything we want.
So I'm trying to think of where we were the last time either the full board or the exec met. as it relates to making sure everybody's aware of the legislative appropriation.
Yes, I've got that. I'm sorry, I think I have that later somewhere in the thing. I did, but I'll come to it now. We have a request in. It is advanced through the Senate and the House. The request is in under TCC Higher Ed. Frankly, in my opinion, the less we talk about it for the time being, the better, just because we've got to get through the governor's veto, which my understanding is the end of June. So we will know one way or the other by the end of June, July 1, whether we have received that funding. My understanding is, furthermore, that we won't get the money until the October 1st-ish period.
And that conversation is critically important, because every bit of that, if the governor's veto extends to the end of June, arguably it's not until early July, the beginning of July, that we're able to make definitive decisions about the FF&E that we need to acquire. So we've got to be herding some cats between now and then
to be ready
to call that list based on the money that we believe at that moment that we'll have and what the priorities are.
And if we get zero, we're going to have a different conversation. Right. Which is, and let's be clear, zero is a real possibility.
And what's the max? A million jobs?
750, was it?
2750.
It went in at 750.
750, it's now at a million five.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, also, I think the less we talk about it, the better for the time being.
Yeah.
No thank yous to anybody right now.
Very good. Any other discussion on IPT election break? Hearing none. Item number 9, operations.
Just to give an update, leasing on the Idea Lab, we've got a couple of tenants over there, not a lot of activity. We do have a tenant or two taking more space. We've got three or four leads right now for some other folks that I think are pretty positive we'll get some space, but obviously relatively slow. If we could get to 20 tenants, that's $120,000 a year for us. So it's a real number if we can just get the needle move. Town Core was out here with drones yesterday or this week taking pictures. They're getting going on leasing efforts for us as well, but they have not done much, but they were out here photographing and getting ready to hit it. So hopefully we'll get some a little bit of benefit from Town Core getting rolling. I gave the legislative request already. I just want to give everybody an update on OEV. I think I mentioned that I was going to try and get them to accelerate the payment schedule under the juggernaut deal that we did with Danfoss, because the building got larger and took a little bit longer. They asked us yesterday for an invoice for the second payment, $268.5, which I already sent out. So my expectation, according to Keith, is we should have that check really within a week or two, which is a massive deal for us, because that will fund all of the elevator expenses without us dipping into reserves for those for the time being. So if you see Keith or Ben or Daryl or anybody over there, or Kevin, you know, you're certainly welcome to say, hey, we really appreciate you working with fun. We've got a little bit of work to do on the third payment to bring ourselves, frankly, into full compliance with the documents, which we're working on right now.
I'll do that last night with Keith.
Good, good. No, I appreciate Keith. That's they had to make it. They had to shift something, and they did. And it makes a big difference for us. Just at a high level, funding and cash flow. I don't want to belabor it, but as you guys know, by the time the lab's finished, we're really good. And depending on the money we spend on FF&E, we will be running on fumes next year. In almost any scenario, it gets super tight for the next 12 to 18 months as a prep. I would be surprised when we get to this year's audit period that we do not get a going concern opinion when we get to this year's audit.
That is a real possibility.
For sure, just with the 12 months out.
And that is dangerous when it gets put in writing. Everybody understand what we're talking about?
Yeah. I don't know how it's I don't see a path that wouldn't be the outcome. I mean, what we've seen, we've talked a lot in this room with this group, with our board, as you've brought forward in the last few or several meetings the updated Treasury report, and we've looked at the current and the future operations and the pace at which we are spending cash.
And depleting investments.
And we haven't brought forward a different platform for the business model. And so there is a conversation that we need to be paying very, very close attention to.
I think I would add also that nobody reads that audit for the most part. The Joint Legislative Audit Committee does. I've been involved with another entity that has had going concern opinion in their audit for the last 5 years running, maybe 10 before I got there. Nobody's ever read it or brought it up in any public or private setting. So again, we're largely invisible in many ways, which may be a benefit for the time being, that this we are not front and center on a lot of folks' radar.
Are we still required, at one time we were required to deliver audits to certain bodies. Are we still required to
absolutely.
Do that?
We do that every year.
And who all gets that now?
The Auditor General, Joint Legislative Audit Committee, County, you know, those are the main ones that off the top of my head. Who else? I
need the city.
Yeah.
Okay. We used that debt and we had to give it to Wells Fargo who had the
that's right.
That's right. It was bond underwriter.
We don't do that.
We have no debt, right. I don't know that the EDA gets it or has asked for it in the past.
I don't think EDA might get it.
I don't know. I haven't submitted it since I've been here. I do not know if they had it historically at all.
But do we have to submit it next year because we will have dates?
I don't know.
Because we up to last year we didn't have dates. From now onwards we'll have dates.
Yep, we will have debt by then. But debt, we have to submit it to FSU. Funding source for sure. That's just a courtesy even if it's not required.
That I guess then is it a matter of conversations in advance of that where they're understanding the story to the degree that can be shared. Because, I mean, if someone, doesn't matter who reads it, but if someone reads it as a stakeholder and they see it, I just
we have to explain what it means.
I might have to explain
to our entire board what a going concern opinion
means.
Because a lot of people don't really know that terminology.
Yeah.
Well, last time we had audit issues, the newspaper blistered us with front-page stories. And
I think we have to work from that in. What would be the worst case scenario? And then how do we kind of buffer ourselves with that, having a solid conversation in advance of this?
And we're going to tackle something here in a minute that's going to tie directly into, Kim, what you're saying. So hold that thought.
Okay.
And I have a couple more things. Tech Grant, everybody I think was there. I'm sorry, Kim, you didn't make it last night. It was really, went really well. And I think that was in almost overwhelmingly due to Peggy, Julia, Bill, Christian, Aini, all those folks that really did a terrific job putting that together last night. And for folks who've been to multiple versions of it, a number of them came up to me as if I had something to do with it and said this was the best one ever. And I said, well, I did what I could. Obviously, I took credit for it to them, but you guys, I want to make sure that credit was given where it was due.
Oh, wow.
I just wish we'd had more of our directors there.
Agreed. But it was a good event. And I think everybody that came, we had a number of folks come up to us after the event and said they would like to put some money into it next year. One of the judges, what'd she say, $25,000?
And she's already, CEO.
I think they had a good time.
You've already sent her a Venmo request.
I'm following up on that.
This is Julia Holly, if you guys haven't met Julia.
Yeah, the CEO of Florida Tech Council, we had a conversation with her. She came up to me and said, I would put $25,000 into this. We should definitely do this next year, $100,000 at least. And I told her, oh yeah, there's one in Jacksonville that's down to $250,000. Black founders, women founders, separate events. Anyways, James Taylor said, oh yeah, I've got contacts with Microsoft, Google. I can get them to support an event like this.
That's awesome.
Year.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
It was super well attended. We had 120-ish, at least, RSVP, and I think we had over 100 certainly show up, didn't we?
Yeah.
One person showed up here, actually.
Yeah, one. Just to confirm it wasn't taking place here. It was just a safety. It was just a safety to make sure anybody else is here, he could direct them to the right place. That's the reason he did that.
Do we know was the media, other than FSU's people, do we have any media there this year?
They were certainly invited. I do not know.
They were invited. I directly contacted several. They all knew about it for months.
And Riles will send stuff out. We'll be blasting a bunch of stuff out.
So Riles, we hired.
Yeah. Okay.
There was another guy there taking photos that was sitting at the front on the left-hand side. I don't know who he was.
There was a videographer.
Silver
Productions.
That's right.
They covered
so it was us.
Two.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And then the other two things that I wanted to add, and if nothing else on tech grants, were I would like the board, executive committee, to advance renewing a conversation with Talcor to extend the property management agreement for an additional year. I think it expires at the end of August. Last year, it was renewed in February. I've got a call into Ed Murray to make sure they're interested. But if that's okay, I'd like to continue and advance that conversation. I don't know if that ends up on the consent agenda at the board meeting or a discussion item, but I wanted to get it in front of it to our group today.
What's the, do you know off the top of your head, the annual expenditure on that?
90. We renewed it last year. We renewed it the year before. One-year renewals is what we've been doing for the last couple of years.
I move we renew at the current price our contract with Talcor for property management.
And it's got a 30 or 60 day notice for out. Okay. Is the other thing. So it's I would consider that very flexible.
I'll second it.
All right, it's been moved, it's been seconded. Any discussion?
Just a question. I'm trying to remember when we put this out for bid and the gyration we went through and then the language that we ultimately came up with about renewals and all. I just want to make sure that we're not in conflict with that. I would be in support, but I'm just, yeah.
I know when we originally contracted with them, we, I'll use the term, beat down pretty much the price that they had proposed. And there was a little contention there between our organization and theirs because we were being so heavy-handed with it, but they ultimately came in and agreed to the price we were pushing. Do you remember that, Tom?
I do. I mean, we bid it to three companies.
Beck was one.
Beck.
2018 was the last agreement, last formal, full-blown agreement.
So one of them made a big mistake on their bid, and they kind of got tossed, and then it was between Beck and Talcor.
Correct.
We did.
Correct. Okay.
I remember of the 90 grand, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, 25,000 of that is financial and accounting work. 65,000 of it is the property management piece. It's all under one agreement, but they do a lot of our bookkeeping and some of those items, probably as a result of whatever troubles there were years ago, just to put a third party in the middle of everything. So that function is performed by them for $25,000, and then the property management is the balance of that.
Yeah, there's two sides of the conversation. One is, given our current financial situation, we need to be the best stewards of making sure that we're always getting the best price, and that frequently requires the competitive bidding process. The other side of that is, this is a really difficult time for us to be going out and doing that, because we have somebody who understands us. They've taken care of. I don't know that we're in a good position at the moment to try and change.
Right.
I'm not sure we're an attractive candidate, a client, frankly, for folks. And so, I'm hoping they'll be interested, right? I mean, there's a lot of work out here all the time. We've got an RFP potentially started on FF&E. We go through the brain damage, and it's now, and we're talking about an August expiration.
I tend to lean in the direction of renewing what they have at the current price, and if they're not interested in the current price, then that goes back out for a bit. But
I totally agree. I think if Peggy, and she'll probably put it in the minutes, that we at least had this conversation and acknowledge kind of what the 2018, how we got here. But yeah, I'm in agreement.
So. And I'll get with Ed. Yeah. He's had something going on, a family member who's been ill, so I'll get with him next week.
Now that's going to change pretty dramatically when we get a lot more floor space. And that probably is January, February, March.
You mean for lab?
Yep.
There's a conversation there. The attachment is for the property as it exists today, of course. It is not a clue.
We'll probably have to renegotiate that over 6 months or so.
Which would make good reason why we're doing what we're doing, just the renewal for that thing to go out. Yeah.
Okay, so it's been motioned, properly seconded. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. All right.
The last thing I had was, and Kevin and I can give an update on a conversation we had Wednesday with Stacy Patterson, Charles Weatherford, Rebecca Brown, and Kyle Clark. Kevin, do you want to lead that?
Yeah, sure. As we've had conversations again in this room about everything that relates to our financials. And sidebar on this, Michael and I talk about LCRDA and Innovation Park probably on average about 3 times a day, every day. I mean, we have been deep into the mechanics and the weeds and the construct and the mission and everything about it. With respect to our board understanding primarily some of the issues that Dave has presented in our treasury reports, it's going to be important that we maintain good dialogue, strong communication, strong partnerships with the two universities that are here in Innovation Park performing research. The mission, if you go back to our charter, the charter mission is research and economic development. We've done a fantastic job promoting the research side. We still have a lot of work that needs to happen on economic development, and the universities are the institutions that really have the ability to catapult that. Back in 2013, that's when the decision was made between LCRDA, FSU, and FAMU to enter into a restructure and allow both FAM and FSU to have stronger control over some of their specific facilities that they are doing research in. What we desire right now is that the universities clearly understand where we are. Let me pause for a second. The way Michael and I have been talking about this, so that everybody sees a clear vision and a clear picture, Innovation Park is a location. It encompasses everything around us, not just what's inside the 208 acres. It also includes the FAM FSU College of Engineering, a golf course. There's a tremendous amount of FSU's South Campus is right here, and so there's all these amenities that tie in, and this is a location. LCRDA is the legal entity. Our board, going back into 2022, culminating in a letter that we sent to the university presidents and to Vince Long, county administrator, we pointed to the fact that the LCRDA may not be the most appropriate legal entity structure to take us forward to accomplish the mission for which we were created. We're still focused on that. So we have two things going on. One is this location that continues to do great research and will begin to do great things in commercialization with stronger, let's just say stronger partnerships with the universities. We will grow in that direction. We still need to address what we keep pointing to in terms of the authority. They're connected, but they are different issues.
And we think it's super important, and that's why we started with the FSU folks, the idea that we all do it. I'm guilty of using Innovation Park instead of LCRDA. When you think about 400 acres out here, right? That's Innovation Park, 450-something acres. I'm making that a little bit up. We control 50 of it. We control 50 of that. Our biggest constituents or stakeholders in this park are FAMU and Florida State. So Kevin and I wanted to bring everybody up to speed and remind everybody of that too. And I think, not to minimize the impact of a going concern, but I want to be real clear if that were to happen. It's a going concern of the RDA. It is not a going concern of Innovation Park. Okay? And I think that's an important thing. And then when we talk about this place, it's downtown, it's midtown, right? It's not the RDA. RDA has a very small physical assets here. And so we went through that with Florida State. And then we also, Kevin and I, this week, we brought FAMU and Florida State the right people up to speed on our financial circumstances.
And so to just put a fine point on that, the people that were in attendance that Michael just pointed to, that is the Vice President of Research of FAMU, the Vice President of Research of FSU, the Vice President of Finance and Administration of FAMU, the Vice President of Finance and Administration of FSU. Those are the people inside those two institutions that absolutely have to understand what the assets out here are, not just because there's this incredibly cool culmination of all of our efforts and the realization of the true reflection of our vision in the North Florida Innovation Labs, but every asset has associated liabilities. And as we mentioned earlier, we've got 28 and 36 or 37-year-old buildings out here that we do not have a strong plan for maintenance.
And may be obsolete.
So we had to have kind of that very financially oriented discussion with FSU and FAMU so that they appreciate and they are positioned to help us figure out what's the next, because we're still inside of this location that is Innovation Park. We need to continue to do everything that we can to accomplish the mission. And as we've seen from TCC's assistance with the legislative funding and with President McCullough's vision for expanding the research enterprise and what that means in terms of the investment that they're making in North Florida Innovation Labs and FAMU's commitment to assist in the North Florida Innovation Labs in providing staffing. All of these things are critically important, but we need everybody, and particularly FAM and FSU, to appreciate what the location Innovation Park need from them in order to be long-term successful. We had a very helpful discussion.
And they were not, just to put it, they were not up to speed at all on our financial circumstances. So, our expectations in the meeting were to get them up to speed and to bring them into that conversation and for them to frankly, say, and some we didn't explicitly say, we're going to need your help. I don't know what that looks like. We didn't ask them for their opinion on what that might look like, but we did want to arm them with enough information that they realized that help is needed. And that was the objective. And we're going to circle back with those guys in the next couple weeks, but it was just a lot to throw at them Wednesday.
So question, so for the respective presidents, those are the key folks that they identified. I get Charles, but I know in the past, at least FAMU, they'd had the Enchante for the foundation. So, and she would have had the historical. So did they now identify the finance person as the point person?
So Rebecca Brown is going to follow back with Shantae.
Yeah.
Michael is following, but I couldn't be in that conversation with Shantae outside of the call meeting.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was everybody in the meeting acknowledged that we definitely need to make sure that Shantae's involved in the discussion.
And I kept Shantae abreast of that. I emailed her right after we finished that meeting and gave her, said, hey, we may hear from Rebecca Brown. If you'd like to talk about it, call me. You're also welcome to join us Friday at the executive committee meeting. This meeting was created I had meetings with Kevin and Stacy Patterson a month or two ago. I had a separate meeting with Weatherford. Stacy said, maybe it makes sense for Weatherford and I to meet with you guys to talk about the park. And so that's what precipitated.
Sense.
This did not come from the respective president's offices at all.
This was actually, the meeting was actually Stacy Patterson's request.
No, it makes perfect sense in terms of where they'd have to get the dollars from. I just know, having been in those institutions, the presidents lean heavily on who they've identified to get that guidance on, do I go ahead and take this step?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking how we get closer to
that. And one of the requests we made that if you guys, was, frankly, if you guys have an appetite for helping as you learn more, we want you to both think about how to navigate your respective organizations to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was part of our request also. Again, very preliminary, since everybody, Charles was like, I have no idea about any of this, so we hit Charles pretty hard.
That's a little bit surprising, but
I mean, it's not
anybody's radar. About the big catch with us, we probably never had enough dollars for the O&M of the building after it got going, but the construction costs going up 40 or 50%.
We just don't have anybody's radar.
So that was actually a number that we focused on inside of, if you look at research related buildings, and the number that would be provided had the legislature still provided O&M, we would be receiving about $20.95 per square foot for our buildings. And nobody gets that anymore. That's just not it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Which on 80,000 feet
so
is a real number.
Yeah. When you're having a conversation with the CFOs of the respective universities, they clearly see that number. And we're also having a conversation at the same time about what are we achieving in current rent. The disconnect is apparent when you're talking with the financially minded. So
at the end of the conversation, was there a y'all get back with us, or
they were gonna digest. We gave them some very limited documentation and said, look, if you guys have questions as you review this high level stuff, you're gonna reach out to Aini or I, and we will get you whatever you need. And then we agreed as a group to regroup, hopefully within 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
My guess. I don't know if we'll make it that fast, but we're gonna try.
Their request. That was their request to get back together soon.
With the group.
And was there more discussion than just the lab? Was there discussion about the rest of our assets, or just
we didn't spend time so much specifically on any individual asset. We gave them a picture of all the assets.
Okay.
We did share our rent rolls. We did share our operating costs. So yeah, we gave them a lot, but nobody was like picking through a one versus another asset, so to speak.
I got you.
Any other thoughts on that?
I'm real good at begging and crying if y'all need me to go.
Can we just hold that? Yeah. Make sure that gets in the minutes for me, Peggy.
Yeah, an old man crying gets people every time.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. That's for sure.
Well, both of you, I guess, came back feeling positive about the responses you had.
Absolutely.
Encouraged. Not Pollyannish, but.
Yeah,
they were interested.
They appreciate that. The reason we talked a little bit of that, and I think this was even late in the meeting, but we talked a little bit about the fact that very strong research parks around the United States, their affiliations are with the universities, and we need to build that. I don't know of another research park whose affiliation is with the county. And that's not new information in this room. Mm-hmm. That's why we sent the letter back in October that says that the fact that Shante couldn't be in that meeting with us is a reflection of the clunkiness of the rules that we must abide by. It's what it is. Well, it's why North Florida or IPTLH is being called out of this so that it can operate efficiently. We have both arms tied behind our back right now.
Wasn't it, and I asked this because I can't remember, but Weatherford going to at some point stand in as the designee, which would allow Shante to not be the lead so that she could have have the conversations with that.
I don't know.
Okay.
With the type of coordination that needs to exist, certainly over the next several months, Kim, your point is incredibly well made. We need to make sure that we put people and that we move people either into or out of appropriate roles.
Correct. Because you don't have time to do meeting upon meeting. You need the strategic ones. And if that's who these presidents have identified, then
that's what you need to be strategic with to get it going and keep it going. Otherwise, I mean, I like that we educated them because they do need to be educated because that's where you're going to have to ultimately go to find the money when the president says find the money. But beyond that, there are people just like, I mean, no different than my institution, the president will call and say, okay, hey, should we do this thing?
Right.
Should we do this thing? Yeah, we should do this thing, you know.
We're trying to figure out the best way to navigate, and we put that burden somewhat on them is to help us figure it out, and that's whether that's working up or down.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to start with those. We thought that group made sense to have the conversation.
Oh, it does for educating, absolutely. I don't know if it's for action.
Well, I applaud you both. I think early communication is it's so very vital.
Yeah.
Where we're going to have to be.
Totally.
Thank you. The I don't want to miss this opportunity. And I hesitate to say it because it's going to sound, it sounds, outside of context, it's going to sound like the motivation is something other than what it is. Is the most effective place for Shantae to serve right now is not on the board,
is on the outside.
On the outside, so that she can.
Problems on,
agreed.
And closer,
So. Michael, that's probably a conversation that the next time you have an opportunity to talk with her, we need to be able to unpack that with her. The difficult part is giving a context. So.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll circle back with her. I'll actually get with Rebecca just to see once Charles and Rebecca have had a chance to speak to Shantae, then I'll hopefully close that loop and initiate further conversations that might make sense.
Yeah. And the other thing is if she needs to be inside the board in these conversations, I can't be in the conversations.
Right.
And so that's a decision that this board needs to, not just exec, but the full board needs to understand that. And I'm good with whatever the right answer is. I don't care. We just need to get to the right solution.
Correct.
We just got to have, and Shantae's going to be our best source to tell us where the most effective roles should be, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm putting that on the table that if Shantae needs to be inside, then I need to at some point remove myself from the board. If that's, I'm not suggesting that we go there. I'm just telling you, everybody in here, I'm good with whatever the right answer is.
And there may be another workaround too. And there may be you're the pipe between Kevin and Shantae.
I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, Shantae more than the ad hoc that we have the ability to have those engaging conversations with her. We can have representation by Weatherford or whomever, you know, Weatherford by way of the research piece. But, you know, again, having worked the group for 10 years, I would put Shantae in a place that we can move things in.
It can help move things along.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she can answer that question.
Yeah.
And I think that's the.
That's where I need to start.
You ask her. Yeah.
But she's got to be fully read into everything, too. And that's a process that's still undergoing. But I would like that to come initiated from Charles and Rebecca to make sure they're communicating the same things we are. And then I can kind of recircle with everybody.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Productive discussion. Dave, we missed.
No, you were putting your business, didn't you?
Well, we put the bus trip under 8 and then we skipped over it. We can put it in new business with, no, it's my fault. I just moved past it. Nothing left on number 9 operations?
Not for me.
Okay, new business, let's go first with the bus trip.
I am a strong believer that we need to have our city, our county, our chamber, a number of other sources, our media, to have a better appreciation and understanding of our potential here. And the best place to show that is Sid Martin. We proposed that trip for most of us in the room. I think we understand that it fell apart, not because of anything we did, but because of the last-minute pulling of funding I was at a meeting where Terry Ard was announcing to those in attendance how good it was that we were putting that trip together, and that if others wanted to know about it, please see me. I had to stop her right then and say, we have postponed that trip. It's going to be rescheduled. I also had a call from Dr. Patterson's office saying that Dr. Patterson was interested. Since then, I know that she has had other conversations with you all, but at the time, they came back and said she wants to be a part of that. She'd like to be there when the commissioners are there. She'd like to be on the bus, but she needs probably at least a 2 month head start notice because her calendar gets so full. But there clearly is an interest in the community to get this thing done. I'd like to propose that we consider the month of September. We then begin to look at our commissioners' calendars to make sure we don't come up with something that conflicts with what city and county commissioners are doing, so they would be available. Even though Dr. Patterson may have already been to St. Martin by then, I'd like to open it up to make sure her staff is available on that particular date, but that we again get the thing moving, get it accomplished, and hopefully we get good media on it, and hopefully we get a good response to the trip. We proposed a 38-passenger bus. At the time, we were going to be able to get it for about $1,600. That included gratuity for the driver, and that included going down and coming back same day. Sid Martin had told us that they would prepare lunches, bag lunches for everybody. I don't know how that was to be paid for, whether they were giving us that, I doubt it, but probably $10, $12, $15 a person for a bag lunch down there as a part of the trip. My belief is, though, that that's badly needed. I think I saw an awful lot of heads shaking in the board meeting when it was proposed, and I'd just like to get us back into the planning mode. And if everyone is agreeing, then I'd like to propose September as the time we do that. The conversation is now open for discussion.
I have one thought. I know the county commission takes a summer break. I don't know when the summer break ends, but you might want to try to hit before the break. And I bet it's early September. Is that true?
I don't know that schedule. I get to go. What I would add to the scheduling of this is that I am working on a very small contingent of Stacy Patterson's folks, led by Sonia Carter, that want to go down and make a car trip to Sid Martin, kind of the scout team, to check it out. Just the four of them. I've spoken to the folks at Sid Martin. They'd be happy to host them, show them around both facilities, the one in the city of Gainesville, the one in Alachua. And my suggestion would be is we let that get scheduled and occur before we fire up the bigger group to go do this project, to go do that. Because I think that will help set the table potentially for other people's appetite, certainly within FSU's ecosystem, if those folks go take that trip.
I had thought that trip would be over by September. But
oh, it will. Oh, I mean, well, I certainly expect it to be over between, you know, over the next 8 weeks for sure.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let that actually happen and get the feedback from it.
And there's nothing magic about September. It's just I think if we don't set a timeline, it doesn't get done as appropriately as it should. So October's a better month because of commission's recess or whatever the case. I'm open to October too. I just would like to have something in place that we can begin to put together again, the working process that makes it happen.
What is the anticipated funding source?
Well, at one point in time, we know the OEV had said they would fund it. At this point in time, I think we'd have to be prepared to say we'd pitch in $1,600 for the bus. Now, maybe we could find a sponsor that would say, I'll sponsor the trip down. Give me 5 minutes on the PA system on the bus to talk about my company or my support of what we're doing or whatever. In my mind, I had proposed every 30 minutes on the roughly 2-hour trip down there that somebody would come to the microphone, perhaps a Michael who would talk about Innovation Park, and maybe we could have the screens showing our building going on, or perhaps it'd be Bill. Perhaps we would have somebody from research, FSU research or family research, talk about anything they'd want to. But every 30 minutes, have a 5 minute to everybody, here's a presentation. So maybe we have a sponsor who would do that. You had asked if we get Sammy Davis involved. He said he'd be happy to go down.
Sammy Davis.
Both of them
popped up, and I was like, okay, I think it's Sammy
Davis. If it's Sammy Davis, I'm going. I'm there. The bus will be full. Sell tickets.
So,
go ahead.
What if, in order to, as we think about sponsorship and as we think about community interest and as we think about the location called Innovation Park and drumming up the appropriate interest and intrigue, particularly among city and county leadership, if we have FAM and FSU helping us drive this, that helps create all of that, and I think there's potentially two different institutions that can help sponsor at that point. I would really like to hear how the trip with Sonia goes.
I agree. I would suggest we would table that just to get that trip done, because I think that might set some form of an agenda, hopefully. Again, in combination with the conversations Kevin and I are having, it would be nice to be advancing an agenda
correct
on a bus trip.
Correct.
That we're building a constituency and a fan club for, than to just do a bus trip to educate. I would rather it to be to kind of really rally the community around a path.
And I don't know that the September-October time frame changes at that point.
Right.
I think that's still a very probable time frame. I think that we will get immensely more traction on this when we're using FAM and FSU using their loudspeakers to.
Well, if each of them, and give them $1,000 a piece, is not a big number, but if each of them co-sponsors $1,000 each for the trip, that'd pay for lunch and a bus.
I'm less worried about the financing of the trip
than
the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sensitive at the moment we don't really have.
So, in summary, you're saying let's cook FAM and FSU before we even consider the picnic trip.
That would be my recommendation.
Okay.
Because then I get new ideas that enter into a conversation that we're in the middle of, that I would like to see if we can cook this thing a little longer with what we're working on.
I just want to keep it boiling so that we don't lose sight of it and that we ultimately get the trip done.
And I'm sensitive to the fact that, in all frankness, the trip was killed largely basically by the county.
You're saying what now? It was killed.
The funding was pulled by the county.
Yes.
So I'm not looking to antagonize
right.
or to reopen that until I've got better messaging, perhaps, about the trip.
Well, one more thing I'll say is I had proposed to open up the trip with a quick stop at the new facility and perhaps get out the bus and look at it and get an understanding of what we have here. Board the bus and then take off to sit
there. Agreed.
So that was a piece of it. May I just leave this conversation with saying we're in agreement that we still want to do the trip, that September, October potentially is a good time to do it, and that by the time we perhaps have our next executive committee meeting, you and Kevin may have some better feel for.
And hopefully the other folks have been on the trip.
Yeah. So
I think that's appropriate.
As long as we can keep it in sight.
Okay.
Good. Everybody good?
All right, great. With everybody?
Yep.
Okay, minutes will so reflect. Second thing, you want me to go over the next thing? I am a little concerned that we need to know exactly where we go with what happens if June 1st, the government shuts down which write checks. Does Culpepper agree that we're going to keep going, we'll just do this with IOU? Do they say, well, we're going to shut down temporarily and because we can't afford to keep paying people until you get some funding for us? Do we go into our loan much quicker than we thought and incur interest expense sooner than we had thought. I just think we need to have an understanding of where we're going with that.
How are we doing on the draw schedule at the EDA?
We're fine. We've made 2 draws so far. We are planning to make our 3rd draw the first week of June. Again, I can remember, I can't make a draw for money if we haven't spent the money. So we're going to get, we're paying a bill of 1.6, 1.5 at the end of this month, which will leave us with $95,000 or $75,000 in our construction account. We will get a bill the first week of June, 1st or 2nd, hopefully, Davis will usually give you a heads up on the 31st, that we will borrow the money from FSU. We've already teamed this up with Jenny. We've only borrowed $700,000 so far. And we will get that cash within a couple days, pay Culpeper early at that point. We'll have paid them 30 days, almost, or 20 days early, so that I can the next day request our funding for about $3.3 million from the EDA. Again, I'm trying to sneak in here between a June 15th window, keep in mind. I know I can get the FSU money, and that will pay, and that will cover have covered us at that point. We will have a 60-day window. Remember, I'm going to pay Culpeper early. I got a 60-day or 55-day window before I have to pay them again. So the bills will be lower. Worst case, I would borrow another $800,000. The bills are going to start going down. The downside of the way the construction is running ahead of schedule, the challenge that has created is the bills have been bigger earlier. Right. So they will get smaller. We certainly have enough capacity to borrow another payment. So I've got a 90-day window. Now, if they don't resolve the debt crisis in a 90-day window, we will have problems. And at that point, I don't know if I were Culpeper, I would continue to work on IOU.
So I think that's a conversation that needs to occur with Culpeper.
Right.
Because we... we are not in control of a lot of things, the least of which is what the federal government does.
But we have also, over the last 6 months, because of some of the hiccups and the timing, Culpeper has been up to speed on everything. I have told them when I'm going to pay them 10 days late, which has happened. I have told them when I'm going to pay them 25 days early and why. So they are very familiar with the hiccups and the process. There has been zero surprise to Culpeper through the process in terms of our cash and cash flow. So I have educated those guys on how it works. And I have told them that by the time we get to June, not in July, notwithstanding a federal government shutdown, there will be hiccups because of the timing, and they have gotten comfortable because we have done what we said we're going to do. Now, once it gets out of our control, that's a different ballgame. They will be dealing with that with all of their clients.
Well, and I think
in some shape or form.
Yeah, I think what we find out from them is what is their plan, and whatever their plan is, we adapt to it. What we won't have is money that we don't have.
Yeah,
and they're not going to want to slow down. Like I said, really, I believe, I haven't done this analysis completely, but I know with the expected payments and the bills we're going to get, we can run 120 days
easy
without the EDA money.
But then
we'll have consumed our line of credit. But at that point, remember, I am indifferent, frankly, to the interest costs. I think that is a non-issue in the scheme and the magnitude of what we're dealing with. I'm not even going to consider it. My preference would always be to go zero interest, but this interest on this doesn't even start till 12 months after construction is completed, so it is not a near-term problem. I would use the same language around the going concern messaging. I am much more concerned with us having liquidity than I am on addressing why we have a going concern opinion. I mean, those are issues. They are not the core issues.
Yeah. What else?
Those are my 2 thoughts.
Very, very real things to consider, unfortunately.
Is there anything else that needs to be discussed under new business? Hearing nothing.
I'm sorry. I'm not looking at the agenda, but I know Bill had planned to schedule, and he has a tour.
We have a tour with the mayor on Monday and some other folks. Obviously, we're not publicly noticing that, so none of you are welcome to attend as a result. But if you would like a tour of the new facility, I can certainly, on very short notice, coordinate that just with me and Walkie over there.
That's right. Very good.
What do we know about this? This is a nice document.
This was supposed to be a sponsorship package with actual dollars and some guidance on it. I don't believe it has any dollars in it.
Doesn't.
Right. So I'm not sure.
Yes. It's a draft.
Okay.
And don't wanted to show y'all where things are at.
How do we come up with what the dollar values are supposed to be?
I don't know. Bill's working on that. Again, my expectation is this would have dollars on it, dollars in it already.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about at the last meeting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hearing nothing else, meeting stands adjourned.